you literally have the dream of every Canadian kid who grew up playing EA Sports NHL games. So I have to ask, and we'd love to hear it, kind of take us through that journey of when your career started in hockey to being named assistant general manager of the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, it's a bit of a long journey, but I guess it started in high school, was when I really figured out that, I wanted to get into the business side of hockey, and quickly that morphed into wanting to get into the front office of a hockey team, you know, that gets into building roster and scouting and that kind of stuff. And so I started on that path and started volunteering with the Sudbury Wolves where I could, you know, just not in any official capacity, but just, you know, helping out here and there and picking the brain of whether it be Blaine Smith. He was great to me when I was looking to start into the business, and gave me a lot of really good advice. And so I just started, trying to volunteer at games, whether it be in marketing or when the draft came around, helping out in the draft room with whatever needed to be done. And then fast forward, I got into the sports administration program at Laurentian and did my fourth year internship with the Ottawa Senators. Again, not in any hockey operations capacity, but building that resume and getting an NHL team in my resume. And after graduation at Laurentian, I was lucky enough to land an internship with the minor league team of the Chicago Blackhawks in Rockford, Illinois. And, you know, it was kind of after that, it was a right place, right time situation where an opportunity came up for the Blackhawks in hockey ops as an intern. And I took that and just kind of got the ball rolling from there, doing, you know, basically whatever was available to me, and parlayed that into a full-time job. And that was almost a decade ago now. And, you know, this summer I got promoted to assistant general manager, and, you know, from when I started as an intern to assistant GM now, it was, you know, a lot of just picking up whatever responsibilities were available and trying to experience whatever I could, and going to whatever games were nearby and trying to get my nose into the scouting, understanding players, and then also understanding the operation side of putting a team together. And still learning. I'm still, figuring out the industry, but, you know, it's been I'd say a lot of hard work, but it's been a lot of fun. And I've enjoyed every minute of it so far.
A decade, eh, man? Time flies.
Really does. Yeah, it really does.
That's why I think this story is so cool, is because it is a dream of many people who are Canadian who want to grow up to be in the NHL, but it doesn't have to necessarily be as a player. You saying that, you know, you just helped out where you could around the rink, like me going to the Sudbury Arena in past years and just seeing the amount of people who help out behind the scenes. And, you know, there is a future for them in hockey if they really put the work to it.
Absolutely. Well, I got to do things that were at the time was absolutely ecstatic to help out with, like helping run the video review, which I got to watch the game from up in the press box, which was awesome. And that was sort of, that was probably the best job I had on game nights at the Sudbury with Sudbury Wolves. I was that guy shooting, t-shirts out with the slingshot. You know, I was doing that. I was taking the inflatable wolf head down. I just wanted to be around the team in whatever capacity I could. And I think that's the attitude that really served me well moving forward. I was willing to do anything. I just wanted to be around the team. I wanted to get the experience. And, you know, when you look back now and you kind of joke about it, but it shows initiative, it shows willingness, to be part of the team and just a drive to find a place in an organization. And that's what I showed. And that's what I see when I see those, whether it's university students or high school students at any game I go to, I see those people on the ice throwing t-shirts out or helping out with in-game promotion. That's all stuff I did. So it's all about just following what you're passionate about. And that takes many forms early on in your career, and it's available to anyone that wants it.
And now, you know, Chicago is one of those teams, like Boston, where there are fans of the team everywhere in North America. Like, there are Canadian fans who are fans of the Blackhawks, fans of the Bruins, because of their original six history and, you know, playing against Toronto and playing against Montreal. What does it mean to be part of such a historic organization?
Well, it's definitely special, and you hit the nail right in the head, where there are fans everywhere across the world, and it is because of the team's rich history, right? It's an original six franchise with legendary players, and you just see what it means to different generations of people. Where, you know, at our games, we've got, obviously on the ice, you've got your Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves, who are really special to, you know, not only an older generation, but the new generation of fans. And then you've got, you know, walking the halls, doing appearances, whether it be Chris Chelios or going back further, Tony Esposito and Bobby Hull. So you see the reaction of the different generations of fans to those people and those players. And it is really special that the Blackhawks organization has continued that connection, not only, you know, building a new connection with the recent success, but building upon the success back, you know, 40, 50 years ago. And you know, obviously the team was around further than that, but it really is a fan base that spans multiple generations. And like you said, is a very international fan base. And it's not just a local fan base. So that's something that's pretty special, because, you know, you can go anywhere and, you know, I work for the Chicago Blackhawks, and there's some people that are diehard, lifelong fans in Sudbury, in Europe, wherever. It's a pretty neat situation to be part of. Yeah.
Now, this has to be pretty weird, taking on the role that you are taking on, and now not only have to worry about the team and what's going on within the organization, but everything else going on within the world with COVID and everything like that. What has it been like from an inside perspective of an organization, of how everything is being dealt with?
First of all, you know, the office was closed right when the NHL shut down in mid-March. And so everyone's been working from home since then. We did do the drafts in person, with, you know, just a very small number of people, socially distanced. And normally, I think the draft this year is supposed to be in Montreal. Obviously, that didn't occur, and it was delayed. And so we did it from our practice rink, and that's really been the only in-person interaction we've had from a work standpoint. Now, you know, the advent of technological apps like Zoom and, you know, Microsoft Teams have made getting together remotely much easier, and it's actually been very, very efficient and smooth. But I think the biggest impact has been, and the team aside, the NHL schedule aside, has been scouting, where junior leagues that are playing, sometimes depending on local restrictions, aren't letting scouts in, and in most cases fans in. If you can't get those in-person viewings, you have to do them all in video, which is not something that was part of our operation in the past. And so going to a heavy video scouting operation has definitely been something new, but it's also allowed people to view more games and more games outside of their traditional territory. It's provided a lot of overlap and crossover and a much wider knowledge throughout the staff of players that aren't in their given region. So it's been interesting. It's been definitely a new experience, but we're not the only team doing it, right? So we've figured out a way to be very efficient and very organized and get together on a regular basis. So I wouldn't say we've missed any, you know, we haven't skipped a beat since being out of the office, but it's definitely presented new challenges, but some new opportunities as well, to see how we can maybe refine some of our operation once things do return to normal.
At this point, there is no answer to this question, but in your opinion, when do you think that the NHL could be back?
Yeah, I really have no idea on that. Basically, what I have heard is what's in the media, and you know, it sounds like they're targeting a January start time, whether that's at the start or in the middle. That would be, you know, what I would assume if that's what the commissioner is saying. So that's what I'm hoping for. I miss the game. It feels like we had a little burst of it in the summer, and you know, since then it's been just kind of hurry up and wait in terms of building the team and getting ready. But you know, we're all in wait and see mode. We're same as fans. We want to get going, but you know, there's issues that have to be ironed out, and we'll wait for those to get done. And when the time comes, we'll be ready. So I'm looking forward to it. I hope we can get back sooner than later.
We talked about the growing fan base and the continued fan base of the Chicago Blackhawks, not only in Chicago, the United States, but all across North America and the world. Here in Sudbury, there is a big fan base as well. Andrew Desjardins brought the cup to Lively, and now you're yourself with the position that you're in. So maybe for those fans, give us a little tease of what to expect from the Blackhawks this season.
Well, you know, we're going to be a bit of a younger team. We were statistically the youngest team in the Stanley Cup playoffs this summer, in the return to play. And, you know, we're looking at an exciting young roster that we're looking to build around. We've got some really good young players, Kirby Dach, Adam Boqvist, and, you know, Alex DeBrincat, to name a few, to go along with the veteran core in Patrick Kane, Jonathan Taves. So it's an exciting time, and we're trying to get back to the top of that mountain, and we're going to do it through this youth movement we've got going on. We had a really good draft in October, and we drafted a really high upside forward in Lucas Reichel out of Berlin. And so, you know, we're just looking to add to the group and hopefully get back to where we were a few years ago, through the development of these young players.
You made some great points throughout the interview about, you know, how your journey, how it started and how you got to where you are. If you had something to, or a piece of advice that you could give to someone who's grinding away, you know, at the Sudbury Arena, in North Bay, Timmins, who's working within an organization in some of the similar capacities that you did, what piece of advice would you give to them?
Always be available to do whatever is asked, because my strategy moving into, you know, the front office or any position when I was starting out was I wanted to be a name that was easily called when a job needed to be done. Whether that was when I started as an intern answering phones or, you know, photocopying, whatever it was, no matter how small, treat it like it's the most important job you've got and the most important thing you can do, because when the time comes and there's some more elevated responsibility or some more quote unquote important job to do, then you want it to be easy for them to call your name. You want to be the go-to person that when they have something that they need to get done, they know they can come to you and they know the job's going to get done. So again, whatever it is, whether it's looking back on my time, doing the wolf, like the inflatable wolf, or doing the video review or photocopying things at the draft, just be great at whatever it is you do. And eventually someone along the way will notice. So that's just the way I always approach things. And, you know, hopefully it worked out for me and hopefully it'll work out for the people in a similar position, but you know, just do everything to the best of your ability with a good attitude and good things should happen.
See, that's what I love about sports is, you know, sports things don't always stay within sports. Like, that is some advice that can be applied not just in a sports organization, but to any job, in any profession. So that's what's really cool about that. Don't worry, I won't tell anyone. Were you a little bit disappointed that you guys got into the playoffs and didn't have a chance to, you know, draft Quinton Byfield?
No, like, Quinton's going to be a great player and, you know, you can't have it both ways. I think getting into the playoffs was very, very helpful in terms of giving that playoff experience and then maybe some of that playoff atmosphere and living through it a bit for our young players. So I think, you know, what we lost maybe in draft position, I think we really gained an experience for the some of the young players I mentioned earlier. I don't think you ever want to ask for losing. I think that's just bad karma in sports. You know, we'll leave that to fans, and I think us in the front office maybe we'll hope for for wins on the ice versus losses. But I definitely understand that sentiment from some people, but no, we're always looking to play more games.
Awesome. Well, I've kept you long enough, Kyle. We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, and we will be rooting for you this season whenever it does get going.
Thanks, Nick. I appreciate it.